Welcome back, everybody. It's from the Arsenal. We're fresh off of Monarch First Edition release and several limited events. So we got a big group of people here to talk all that kind of stuff today. So it's myself, Chris. We have Michael Campbell, Todd Rowe, Brian Wickham, and Minion Kroll. All five of us. I gave everybody their last name so they can hunt you down on the internet if they want
Thanks,
to. That's pretty
buddy.
Cool. For me, it's really easy because I have the same name as a guy from NSYNC. So good luck finding me, assholes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call everyone assholes?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just impressed you knew everyone's last name.
I struggled for a second. I hesitated on Brian, but I got him.
I heard it.
I doxed everybody. How's everybody doing today?
I'm doing phenomenal.
Tired. Very tired.
Tired.
Minion, how are you?
I am fantastic.
Nice.
But he's not phenomenal.
No, nobody can be as phenomenal as you, Mike.
I'm damn straight.
Well, that's your thing.
I am exhausted.
I'm sorry.
From a week-long ordeal of waiting to see exactly how much Monarch we got, splitting cases, sending orders out. Mm-hmm. Like
playing in three events.
Yeah. Well, running two, playing in three.
Yeah,
like it's been a long week.
Yep. So we were going to kick things off by talking about those limited events. The majority of us played in at least two. Some of us played in three. Myself, Todd, and Minion played in three. We had two pre-releases, and we also did a sealed this week down in Hopewell.
Shameless plug. Let's give the shop a plug.
Yeah. So first pre-release was here at Total Access Games in Ashland, Virginia. You're familiar with that if you've listened to the show before.
What's the name of the place?
Total Access Games.
That place.
And it's I hear it's phenomenal.
Virginia. Yeah. We also did another pre-release down in Modern Tabletop down in Chester, Virginia.
Yep.
And the sealed event was down at the Time Capsule down at Hopewell, Virginia.
Yeah.
I'm really glad we're getting all these different shops involved, man. This is really great.
I would like to also point that out as well. Between the three shop owners, myself, Rick, and Chris down at Modern, we have made a collaborative effort to make sure that the Richmond RVA, Central VA community has multiple places to play. And we're collaborating on events, times, and everything else. Like, I'm really excited to actually see three shops and a nice little trifecta working together to give the community places to play.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be part of the Cool Kids Club, come to Virginia.
I mean, yeah.
We got lots of events.
We do.
So in order to try to keep this organized, so I'll start going event by event. I'll try to call on you so we're not talking over each other. Talk about what you played, how your experience was, anything you noticed that was good or bad. Yeah. We don't have to get too excessively detailed, but we'll dive into it a little bit. So the first event we'll start with is the Total Access Games in Ashland, Virginia pre-release, because I believe we all played in that. That was 32 people.
32.
Yep. Right. So that was the biggest event of the last 2 weeks. Went off without a hitch. It was well executed, even though Todd's here, because I would tell him if it wasn't.
Yep.
I would let him know. If that event was shit, I would tell him.
I'd take it, too.
Tell him right in his face. Right in his stupid face.
I mean, I'm probably my own worst judge. I would tell you before you told me that it was bad.
But considering it was 32 players, we had some new players show up. Went very smoothly. So I'm just going to start with myself. I'm going to move on down the line. We're going to save Minion for last. And he knows why.
Because he was last?
Yeah, he was very last. He was the worst. So I ended up playing Bolton. I was kind of interested in Bolton just... He was the least explored to me personally when I went into it. I had a pretty decent pull on his cards. I had the Mythic, the Lumina Ascension, wanted to see if it would work. Pulled a Glisten, wanted to see if that combo would go off, and it did, and it felt good. I ended up going 2-2, though. It felt good. I felt like Bolton had some more hoops to jump through than I initially anticipated. I know that when we talked about it in the spoilers, we felt like the card quality was good, but that might be an issue, and it ended up being an issue. And I think anybody who played Bolton over the course of the last 2 weeks probably felt similarly.
You should have had a different record because we went 5 rounds on the pre-release.
Sorry, then I went 3-2.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a difference.
I won more than I lost. I remember that. So yes, 3-2. It was a good event. I think I lost my first two and then won out. So
okay,
to be expected now that we've seen the whole thing, ran into some prisms, which is going to be a recurring theme. How about you, Mike?
Well, we talked about it, and before the pre-release came out, we were all like, so we think Prism is going to be solid and sealed. So I, like a, I forced Prism. Like, I tried to force Prism and play it out of my six packs, and it was a mistake. And I played, my first round was against a Prism. I'm like, oh, no, I wish mine did that. My second round was against a Prism. I'm like, oh, wow, I wish mine did that. And so, yeah, I didn't win a game. I didn't win a game at all. And I ran Prism, and because I was forcing Prism. So Prism might be solid out of sealed, but if you don't have it, don't force it. That's my advice.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, that's my advice.
How about you, Brian? How'd you do?
So, yeah, I actually dipped out early because I had to get my car over to the shop because I had a check engine light, and that's not good. I figured I'd drive over there because I wasn't going to be stopped for the pre-release. I am definitely going. So, in my pool, I ended up, the majority of my card pools, considering all the different classes, was, once again, like you said, Bolton. I had 15 cards that went with Bolton, along with his armor pieces and other things of that nature. So, like, all right, well, this is as close as I'm going to get. Now, you talked about hoops. Yes, there is a hell of a lot of hoops to jump through, especially when you're charging him up and you're using his swords, or excuse me, the axe abilities, because you need to have charge to be able to go wide with this character. Otherwise, you're going to rely on a lot of your generics to be able to have a chance to go multiple times. And that really does hold this character back, I find, because of the fact that you have to jump through a lot and you have to charge the soul and you're cutting away from the cards in your hand to be able to do stuff with. I believe my last game that I played, which was the second round, was against Minion. And of course, he had a Prism deck, and that pretty much it's nonstop. We were throwing haymakers at each other, but of course, you only can do so much. And then at least from where I was standing, and then all of a sudden I was just only swinging for three a turn or blocking out to try to stay alive. It's difficult. Even with, you know, you have a lot of cards geared towards Warrior. That was the majority of my pool. I think my Prism pool, I only had like eight cards or something to that nature. Something, it just, there was no way I was going to be able to play it. And yeah, you definitely see a little bit of issue with it, at least in sealed. I'm not too sure about draft. Haven't done that yet. And constructed, I'm sure that you can pull something off, but you really have to tailor this class very carefully, especially if you're going to be using his abilities, because charge does take away some of the stuff that you're going to be doing with this character. So you better have a good synergy or else you're going to suffer.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Todd?
I was on Prism. I didn't have to force it. I had 18 light illusionist cards.
Must be nice.
So yeah, I didn't have to force it. Yeah, it felt pretty good in a limited format, especially if the card pool is there. I ended up going, I ended up finishing fifth overall. And I think it was the top three too. Now, the thing I learned in that one was in limited, the light instance are not as good since they don't have the block value. I started 3-0, and then as I got progressively into the deeper waters, right, I found those cards that don't block for anything to be a definite hindrance in the later rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So that was probably my biggest takeaway, is watching the number of those non-block cards you take in your list. But overall, like, it was hella fun. Mm-hmm. I definitely learned a lot. I got to see a lot of cool stuff because we definitely had people on all classes.
Yeah, that was the most spread out event, I believe, of the ones I played. Partly because it was so many players.
Yeah.
But I think people were really willing to try a bunch of stuff because we didn't know what was going to be the best yet.
Yeah.
Plus, Todd did a cool thing that, you know, first place gets this, but then the best light deck gets this, and the best dark deck gets this.
So. Well, that wasn't me.
That wasn't you?
No, I didn't come up with that idea. That was LSS.
I thought you
did. I was just following the protocol.
Well, you're just I was giving you all the credit.
Well, so much,
I
mean, for ideas.
I know, right?
I mean, I was just following the protocol.
Well, you still did a good job with that. So that also opened up the avenues for people to play other decks because, like, all right, you know, this seems like a solid deck here.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm only going to say this because Minion did well, but Minion, how did you and your stupid face do?
My stupid face had a really good pull for Prism.
I didn't have any fancy Majestics or anything, but I had like two red Spears of Surreality, a red Enigma Kimura, and I had a full set of armor.
So sounds pretty good.
So yeah, I wasn't going in targeting to play Prism. I actually wanted to play Chain / Chanye, but the sealed packs told me what to do, and my matchups were Bolton and then Bolton, so I didn't have to face any Brute at that point. And then I faced three Illusionist Mirrors, which I won. I think two of them were on stream, and those were some really close games, really good games. I suggest checking them out if they're still up. And managed to eke those out and take the win.
And which playmat did you pick as your first place prize?
Well, he got the light side.
Oh, he did get the light side? Okay, yeah. I thought there was a first place prize, too.
Well, he got the cold foil Crazy Brew.
There we go.
Yep.
That's the choice you made, was to also add a cold foil in there.
Yeah, just to stick it in his pocket.
Yeah.
How if you put it in your wallet and then put it in your back pocket and sit on it and drive? It keeps the card in good shape.
It keeps it safe.
Yeah. Right.
Definitely safe there.
All right.
So that was a really good event. It was nice to see that many people come out. It was filled with no problem. In fact, there was a healthy list of alternates. So
yeah,
people are excited to play and kind of dive back into it. We had some players who we hadn't seen for a little while that were kind of waiting on Monarch, and they all showed up strong. And that one was really good, and I was happy that you got such a good turnout for that.
I mean, I think if they had given me 48, I could have filled 48.
Easily. Easily.
So the next event we did was the following day down at Modern Tabletop in Chester. That one was 16 players. Myself, Todd, and Minion all attended. Brian and Mike chose not to because they don't like first edition cards, I guess.
I had a family.
But Brian definitely doesn't like first edition cards.
No.
Wait till you hear my report. I got a surprise for you.
I could have gone, but then I wouldn't have anywhere to sleep that night.
Yeah, families. Family or card games, Mike?
I know, right? Card games, obviously, but, you know.
So the three of us will speak, and you can just sit there and be quiet.
Yeah, drink your beer, Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep, that's a thing.
How'd you do there, Chris?
So this event, I actually played Levia. I made a conscious effort to try to change things up, even though at that point we knew that Prism was going to be very strong. And actually, there was an attempt at a little bit of a counterplay. In fact, the only reason I didn't play her in the previous event was because I didn't have enough six attacks. This time, I got a healthy amount. I think I had 9 to 10.
Damn.
So between her cards and Rally the Rear Guard, which is a freaking good card.
Yes.
Yes. So I went with Levia. I built a deck with more pitch than I needed to, and I ended up getting smashed by another Shadow Brute in the first round. Zach was playing that. So then I cut it down to 30 and won out. So that was really good. That deck's way more fun to play than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, Shadow Brute, right?
Yeah, because you're kind of playing a little mini game with yourself, trying to keep the Blood Debt off. And it was a lot of fun. Like, it does exactly what you think it's going to do, right? It just goes hard, goes big attacks. Trying to keep your opponent keep them off having cards. It was a lot of fun, and I did get to play a Prism and shut down one of their more than one of their attacks because I had so many sixes.
Yeah.
And that felt really good too.
Feels so good.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't win out. I went 2-2 because then I played Josh and I let a Genesis sit out, and that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
I hear Genesis is pretty good.
I just let it sit out there for like six turns.
Probably shouldn't have done
that. And I was like, you know what? I could just beat that damage. That's fine. I'm just going to keep hitting for a lot. And he whooped me.
You learned a valuable life lesson.
So I lost, and then I won, and then I lost, and then I won. So, but it was still a good event. I think we ended up with 14 at that one.
That was 14, yeah.
Yeah, we had a couple last-minute drops. But it was still a good event. I lost my train of thought. How did you do, Todd?
So I ended up on Prism.
Huh. Oh, weird.
There's going to be this weird theme going here, these guys.
You don't say.
I had, in that one, I want to say I had 16 or 17 cards that Prism could play. So I was leaning a little bit heavier onto my generic pool. I also made the concerted effort to cut as many of the instances without block. So much so that probably one of the games that actually swung it for me, I was playing against a Shadow Brute player. And when we lined up, I was like, all right, I got a game plan here that's going to be totally dumb. And I'm going to sideboard out all of my zero blocks and put in anything from my generic pool that has any defense value. And I'm going to try and get hit him hard turn one, turn two, and then I'm going to block out and eat him with blood debt.
Mm-hmm.
And that is literally what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I swung turn one. I think I got 4 or 5 damage in. Turn two, I blocked out. Turn three, I think I swung for 7. And he took 4 or 5 there. And for the rest of the game, it was just me blocking everything he did until he finally ran out of cards and got eaten by blood debt.
And I forgot to mention this for your event, but you also learned some important Prism lessons in that match with Zach Buttons.
Yeah. So all right. Well, let's backtrack. And game one, I don't know how this happened, but myself and another one of our locals here, Zach, were both playing Prism. And we had this really cool idea where you don't have to have a card in soul to make a Prism token.
Oh, makes Prism sound phenomenal.
She's great if you get it.
What the hell?
So pretty much I'm like, into your turn, I'll make a token. He's like, cool, into your turn, I'll make a token. And I'm like, wow, man, these tokens are everywhere. And then he attacks me for 7. I'm like, cool, I'm going to block you with a Herald and cancel your attack. And he's like, well, shit, I'm going to do the same thing to you. So about turn 3 or 4, we realized you got to have a card in your soul to make a token, and illusions don't block illusions.
Yeah.
Rating's hard.
Very important.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sure those helped you with your game, subsequent games, and then games on day 2.
Yeah, actually, I did much better. Yeah, once I got these rules hammered out.
If you think that's a bad misplay, wait till we talk about Mike's exploration with Chain.
Rating's hard.
It's fundamental. Minion, how did you do down in Modern?
So at Modern, I'd won the previous day, and then I had my eye on that Shadow playmat, so I chucked out all my light cards and decided to play Chanye. Game one, I went up against Joey, who was on Illusionist, and spoiler alert, he won the event, so he whooped me. But I managed to win out and finish 3-1 and snatch up the Shadow playmat. So
mind you, Joey also finished 3-1. I beat Joey round 4, but my loss came round 2, so he had me on tiebreakers.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, I beat both the winner and Minion.
Wah.
By the transitive property of winning, is that what you're using?
Yep, that's what I'm using.
Who has the playmat in their possession, though?
That's a good question.
Well, I've got one of each. Does that count?
Yeah, that's pretty good. So we didn't have very many Chanyes out of the group. I know Mike, you played the last day, but how did you feel about Chanye in Sealed, Minion?
So I'm going to jump forward in time to earlier today, where I just finished with another Sealed event where I played Chanye again, and my only win was the bye. So two different experiences. I think it came down to really the generic pool that I was pulling from. On the day that I went well, I had red Brandishes, red Belittles, and stuff like that that have a natural go again. So I would play one of those, pop a Soul Shackle, play a Shadow card, and then get the go again and then follow up with an attack. And I was attacking 3. I had one turn where I attacked 4 or 5 times, and it was brutal. But then today, I did not have those cards, and it felt miserable. So
yeah, he seemed hard to build to me. Like I was looking for it every time, and I never felt like I had a good enough card pool. Either not enough Seeds of Agony, or you know, ways to get go again, or something. There was always something that held me off of Chanye, but I really wanted to make him work.
Chanye.
It's important that we use the name Chanye so that other people understand how to pronounce it.
Yeah, wait, do we go through all the names? Because remember, we've come up with all these names.
Yeah.
We're gonna need listener help for the last one.
Yes.
I'm still naming him Kanye. I don't give a damn.
So, final event that we participated in, Brian was also not a part of, unfortunately, but this one was down in Hopewell, which is a little bit of a hike. It's about 45 minutes from Tag, where we all play. this one was just yesterday. So myself, Todd, Mike, and Minion all played in there. I'll go first again. This time I went Prism. because Prism is good. And I had a fat stack of brute cards, but only three of them were six attacks. I had like three blue convulsions from the Bellas of Hell, which, you know, would have been cool if they had been red. So I ended up going Prism. At this point, we're all really familiar with the card pool. At that point, we had opened cases and seen cards. We played in two events. So I felt like I had the card quality down pretty well. And I ended up going 3-1. I lost my first game, but won out. And I actually lost to a Bolton. And part of it was just because he would play a Warmongers, then play a charge card, charge off of it, and then use his other card to swing an axe or something like that.
Yeah, that was Josh, right? Yeah.
No, that was Sean.
Sean.
And he just kept my hand empty. You know, I had one bad turn, and then from then on it was an attack pump followed by a charge followed by axes. And I couldn't get through him. I think what ended up happening was like one turn he happened to have one six attack, destroying attack, and then from then on it was just game over. So I think I had a chance there. I had a really good deck. I got to play Minion in the last round, or second to last round. It just wrecked Minion. Completely just stomped him.
Mm. Yeah.
So,
yeah, I can't even say anything about that. That is an accurate report of that game.
Well, that was that, and the same thing happened to Josh in the next game, Minion, where I had Red Enigma Chimera and the I can't remember the name of the attack you just said, but the five that gives go again. But then I was recurring the Enigma over and over with Memorial Ground, followed by a Herald that recurs a Phantasm card on top of your deck. So the early game was super good, and then I just got to ride it out. But that was fun. So I finally got to play Prism, and she was good.
So what you're saying is Prism is just good all around for everything.
She's pretty good.
And okay. Seals, she's pretty good.
Because I keep hearing everybody say they need six attack on everything, otherwise they're not going to win.
Yeah.
You going to leave me for last?
Yeah. How did you do, Minion?
So I decided to continue broadening my horizons, and I went with Bolton. I had a pretty good card pool for him, I thought. And I learned a lot playing Bolton. I was actually... I actually wanted to learn how to play him in Constructed after playing him in the Sealed event, because his abilities seem fairly intricate. But I finished 2-2. I had a close game in my other loss, and then any thoughts that I could have hung with the Illusionist were just dashed in that game we played where you bent me over and beat me silly.
I'm glad you're so humble when I grossly overstate how our games go because you win all those other events. Like, you could have an ego about it, but you're willing to take some of those L's.
I mean, when you go balls deep in somebody, it happens.
Minion's willing to admit it. I appreciate you letting me do that, Minion, because it makes me feel good because you beat me so many times in other games.
I didn't let you. Like, I really wanted to win that game. It just was in the cards.
And just for context, Minion has beaten me out of several Star Wars Destiny Primes. Not just one, but several. And other large-scale tournaments. So when I can get a shot in on Minion, I'll take it.
Yeah.
You
take the shots at Minion when you get them.
I think we all take the shots at Minion when you get them.
Actually, Mike, I'm gonna do you now. I'm gonna save Todd for last.
I'm gonna save Todd for last.
Yes. So, what lessons did you learn about Chanye?
So, I learned my lesson from not trying to force Prism. If you don't have the cards, you don't force it. So I didn't. I didn't have the cards for Prism, so I didn't force it. I looked at my card pool and I had Kanye. It's Kanye. It's not Kanye. It's Kanye.
It's Chanye.
It's Kanye. Anyway,
like, don't argue with us.
Yes, ma'am. So, I looked at Kanye. This is I'm not gonna lie. I'm not too proud to admit that this is my first time really looking at this character card and reading once per turn action. Ty, what does it say? Create a soul shackle token. Your next Runeblade or Shadow action this turn gains go again. Go again. Right?
Gains go again.
Yeah. So I didn't read that properly. I read it as create a soul shackle token, go again. That's how I read it. So I'm creating a soul shackle token every turn and then taking my one action for the turn, right?
Yep.
No. So apparently, I get my first two rounds are extremely close. One's against Cole, who is a solid Magic player, come into this, and he's picked up this game really well. And it is close. Like, it is close. And he's even talked to me about the deck. That, oh, yeah, I was playing that and playtesting it and this and that and the other. Didn't tell me that I was doing it wrong. I played my second game. I'm not going to lie. I forgot who it was. But it was against an experienced player. Once again, an extremely close game. But once again, I'm creating a Soul Shackle token and then taking my one action because it says go again, right, Chris? It says go again. I go to round three. Now, a lot of y'all may not know this, but I have a metal hip. So I actually took a little gummy edible to help with the pain in my hip. And by round three, that gummy kicks in. And my pain in my hip is gone, but so is my ability to concentrate. And we play against one of our guys here, Rick Dunkley, who explains to me that not only do I get to go again from creating the token, but my next Shadow or Runeblade action gains go again.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So all that blood that I died off in round one and two wouldn't have happened because I would be able to cast them out. But anyway.
Whole new world opened up.
New world. Yeah, however.
I feel like we cue the Disney song right there.
Yeah. How did that experience help you in your last round?
Well, the experience helped me to point to the fact that I knew what to do, but I was too high to figure it out. So Rick proceeds to beat. I mean, we go. You know, he's at one, and I lose. But I'm just looking. I was like, man, thank you for telling me how to play the deck. So I play against another guy who Chris had played around before, who was playing Prism, and Chris was like, no. After I beat your ass, let me explain to you how you're supposed to play the deck. So apparently, the guy is a very good Magic player. So when Chris explained it to him, he picked up on it. Like that.
Yeah.
So I play him, and I now know what Shane, whatever the hell the name is, does. But I'm still too high to figure it out. And I lose that one. So I went 0-4. It was absolutely phenomenal. It makes me feel really good about myself. Mm-hmm. However, I now know how to play Kanye.
Yep.
Do I play Kanye? No, I don't play Kanye.
No, you don't.
But I know how to play Kanye now.
Now you know.
Now I know. And knowledge is power.
Yep.
It's
half the battle.
Well, Todd, how did you do?
Shut up, Todd. Anyway. No.
Sorry. So, knowledge is power and go to the G.I. Joe song?
Yeah, he did it wrong, and I tried to correct him, and he cut me off.
He didn't try to correct. You know what? It's an after-school special mixed in with a cartoon. Okay, Todd.
So, what was the question?
Todd wants to talk about how he did, and we know how he did. So, we'll just let him have his moment.
All right, okay, well, fine. Ask me what I played.
What did you play, Todd?
I played Prism.
Oh, well, that's so weird. But why did you play Prism?
Surprise.
You have an excuse this time.
This time I have an excuse. So I opened my card pool. I actually have 19 cards to play in Runeblade, but I popped a Vestige of Soul.
Yeah.
So I popped the Light Legendary. So I'm like, all right, maybe I want to see if this thing does anything. So I'm like, I feel like I've already won at this point. I don't even care. I'm just going to play it and see what it feels like. Just because you get a legendary in draft doesn't mean you need to play it.
I concur.
Because I definitely picked the weaker of my card pool. And the Vestige did game one, nothing. I didn't even block with it because I was too concerned about trying to get it off. And in a limited pool, it's damn near impossible to get off. And in game two, I still hadn't learned that lesson, and it did nothing. It didn't even block. So in game three, round two, it blocked for one. And in game four, round one, it blocked for one. Because that's all it's good for is blocking.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I finished second.
It's pretty good.
I think the reps that I had with Illusionist in the previous two rounds started to pay off because I was recognizing combos and card plays and chaining things correctly, and it felt good. I mean, overall, I finished fifth, finished second. So
you came in second or Prism. What'd you lose to?
I actually lost to another Prism.
Yeah, surprise. Look at that. Prism got first and second.
Yeah.
Sons of
– First, second, and third because I went third.
Sons of bitches. You know what came in last? Kanye came in last.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, so – So I think that's probably the natural progression of this conversation, right?
Yeah.
Like we played quite a bit of limited, and the only limited we played now, mind you, is sealed.
Right.
We have not drafted yet to see if this still carries over into that card pool, right?
That's going to be fun.
So I think the natural progression is what are we guys, from based on the reps that we've seen so far, is Prism really that dominant in sealed?
Yes.
Yes.
I think so.
I think there should probably be more conversation there other than just a word yes.
The card pool, so when you open a box, anyone that has opened a box of any type of card game, you can tell that this is a certain class box, correct? I mean, we've opened boxes and been like, "Oh man, this is a brute box." This is telling me to.
It doesn't matter what the box is. What I'm saying is, based on the card pool, we're talking six packs. We're not talking an entire box. Like, okay. You're comparing 24 packs to six.
All right,
but all right. Why is Prism dominant when we're looking through six packs in this kind of format?
Minion said it the best. And when I talked to him on the second game of our first tag event, he pretty much explained it, and it makes perfect sense. Minion, do you want to say what you told me if you remember? And if you don't, I'll rehash it.
If I remember, I think I basically said that there's just so much power in her common pool.
Right. For cheap.
And that there's for cheap. And then there, I don't know if I said this part, but I noticed in a lot of drafts when I was focusing, or in the sealed events when I was focusing on not playing Prism, if you don't have a generic pool that has the sixes in it, and you can just whiff on sixes in your generic pool, you don't have a way to punish her for her undercosted attacks.
And it's game over.
Exactly.
And that's the whole point.
And I'll piggyback off of that. I think we talked about this last time when we did the spoilers, Chris. We were talking about cost to power ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying that's 2-6 kind of is the sweet spot.
Mm.
And the fact that in her generic pool, she has the possibility of pulling 2-7s, which also charge her soul and give her access to other parts of her like power. I think that's massive in a limited pool if you get to draw.
So if you think about it, if you get the Spears of Surreality is a 1-5 with go again, and right. Enigma Chimera is a 2-8. So you, with a blue pitch, you can swing for 13 on that turn without even thinking.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And on Bolton, ouch.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And then the other decks, Levia might be a bit of an exception, but she has her own little mini game. They have more hoops to jump through. Chani's got to manipulate the Banish Zone and play out of that. Levia's got to deal with her thing. Bolton has got all sorts of stuff going on. She's the most straightforward right out of the box.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to make a big attack, move on.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll get some go again. Maybe you'll get an aura or something like that. But for the most part, it's swing with a highly efficient, very high damage card that only one class can really effectively average block for or block out and destroy.
Yeah.
Not counting the few generics. But that seems to be why she's so strong. And I think that will change a little bit with draft.
Oh, it will. Definitely will.
To piggyback on that point, she plays, when you're ignoring her auras, which is what I think everyone basically does in Sealed, she plays closest to the classes that we've already played in the game that we have experience on. So there's a lot of experience transfer. Whereas the three other ones have completely different play styles that we're learning on the fly at pre-release events. So she's, I think, easier to play at an efficient level than the other classes as well. So it is possible that we'll pull back some of that power in time.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. That a lot of that, the other three require you to, like Mike said, read the card. And there's going to be a lot of misconception of what you can and what you can't do. I know I've done it. Mike's done it. Todd's done it. Everybody's done it. It's going to be that way until we really get experience and rep with these cards. But yeah, Prism has definitely got the bar where everybody can kind of jump in and play and still feel pretty powerful.
I think Minion brings up a good point. Like the very simple, pitch one card, play a card, go again, pitch this other card, or play this other card and do more damage. It's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's hard to misplay that.
Yeah.
And then, oh, by the way, hey, if you remember, she's got this cool trigger that'll make tokens that can do stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the transfer from what we know already is pretty simple with her. I think the nuance plays with her that really, like, change her game plan are really important to put you over the edge again in the mirror in limited. But yeah, I mean that makes perfect sense. We also said that we felt like Guardian and Welcome to Wraith was the strongest because you get some blue pitches, you get some big attacks, you just swing heavy.
Or the blue pitches are big attacks.
Yeah, or that.
Like, I will say, like when you're playing in a limited format, like you look at Olivia. She requires a banished six every turn to cut off Blood Debt. But if you actually look at the card pool, there are some good cards for Brute and Shadow Brute, but not all of them swing for six at blue. They, you know, they may only swing at six when you see the red version of it. So now you're trying to run some blue pitches so you can pay to do these high cost cards, but then the blue pitches swing for four or five, and you're not being able to hit your banish every time. So in a limit, like when you're – we'll talk about it more when we get to construct it, about being able to build your deck around Levia's abilities or Chain's ability. But when it comes to a limited format, you may pull a lot of Brute cards, but they don't all affect what the Brute character needs to be able to do to cancel the Blood Debt, so they're not taking damage. I lost several – like once I figured out how to – maybe I'm not the best person to talk about this, but once I actually read the card and realized how I was just playing the deck and how the Soul Shackles were working, I was still losing out because I wasn't able, out of a sealed event, to build a deck that's going to be able to cast the amount of Blood Debt cards in my pool that was getting sent there every turn, or vice versa, the fact that I didn't have enough cards that could be cast from my banner zone that was getting put there every turn. I had games where that happened both times. So in a sealed event where you're getting six packs here, build a deck, if you have the cards for Prism, I think it's going to put her above the edge. It's going to be a hard press to play against her in that particular format.
Yeah, I think it's definitely format driven that she's that good out of the box.
Mm-hmm. Also, her gloves are common that break the Phantasm thing. So, there's if you get a common Herald of Tenacity at red, which is pitch two, swing six, dominate, and you buff it by three with one of the two cards that buffs things by three, and you pop your gloves. That's a simple turn, but you're swinging nine, dominate. Like, mm-hmm. What's your opponent going to do?
That's like a Guardian swing. Jesus, that cheap.
Yeah, and not only that, you're going to get a card in Soul to make a token that, oh, by the way, can either block a damage or swing for four next turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, one play, that simple play right there, like with Dominate in a limited format, you're either you have a chance to block for three, two, or zero. And it's I feel it's probably a 50-50 that you'll be blocking for zero or two with that dominate, the way they hate these card pools tend to be sometimes.
I mean, if you've got to rally the rear guard, you might be able to luck out and you get five.
Yeah. It's rough. Prism is rough and sealed.
Well, Minion, you just mentioned it. That was where I wanted to go next, was the idea of we've played in a couple of these limited events. We had seen most of the cards spoiled, but what we hadn't gotten to do is put any of these ideas into theory. Was there any cards that you guys played with that actually surprised you, or like you played with and you saw enough out of that you're like, you know what, this might actually make it for me and construct it?
Can I go first?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Was it Surge the Militia?
Yeah.
When the red pitch for two, pitch two, swings for five, and for every card you block it with, it gets plus one. Oh my god! In a sealed event, like, you know how many zeros or twos you have in your hand at any time? I'm gonna pitch this whole card to block for two. No, it's blocking for one because I'm gonna pitch blocks for two, and then you get plus one for it.
Yeah,
that card lost when I was playing at the first sealed event, game one and game two. I lost because playing against that card when they hit it at the right time when I'm sitting on a hand full of, I had 1-0 and three blues, and they're swing for five. And I was like, well, I'll block two, two, two. So I block six, but I give you plus three on the attack. Outstanding.
Yeah.
I really liked Warmonger's Recital. I thought that was a very solid card for one. The red pumps an attack for three. And if it hits, it puts the card that you target with it at the bottom of your deck. That, you know, recursion feels solid in sealed formats, especially with some of these classes that are going to run themselves out of cards early, or if you end up in a position where you have to block a lot. I thought it was a very efficient card that always saw use for me if it was there.
Yep.
Yeah, that card is so good. Like Todd talked to me about it. That's in my Blitz deck now. That card is so good.
Yeah. Minion, what about you?
So I'm going to cheat and mention two cards.
That's not fair.
Cheater.
I really like Stony Wooten Hog.
Yes.
The red particular because it's a six in the generic pool. And it costs two to play it, and then they have to block with two things or it gets plus one. And, you know, that's just kind of brutal. And a honorable mention to Yinti Yanti.
Yes.
In Runeblade in particular, and I didn't know this until somebody else pointed out to me when I was playing, Soul Shackles are auras. So in Runeblade, Yinti Yanti is always turned on, which is fantastic.
For defense and attack. Yes. Yes.
Brian, what about you, boss?
I really liked Brandish. I thought that was a really good, solid card, especially for swing-centric decks, because of the fact that you have the ability to swing and go again automatically, and if they don't block, then you're going to get, you know, a plus to your, you know, your weapon attack. So that really does help out, especially when goad wide decks. Highly suggest that.
I think for me, like, Rally the Rearguard really was the one that I saw the most promising when I saw the card spoiled. And I was like, wow, a common? It checks all the boxes. Costs two to play, six damage on a red, has two defense. All right, well, that's not so good. But then it's got this awesome instant ability where if you pitch a card, another card for it, it gains plus three defense. That card was MVP. It was great into the Illusionist Mirror matches because it blocks and just cuts off an attack. And into everybody else, it was a massive block. Like I think that card is going to see play in a lot of decks in Constructed.
Yes.
So, yeah, and we'd mentioned Surge the Militia, which is kind of a cheap way to get a bonus attack, and Rally the Rearguard really shuts that one down.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, and the cool thing about Rally the Rearguard is that the red attacks for six, but still blocks for two and has the pit, discard to add three. All three of them have that. The attack value is what goes down.
Right.
So I think it's valuable at any pitch.
Very true, because the blue is still attacking for four and blocking for potentially five if you need it.
That card to me screams Shadow Brute and Brute all day long.
The red version goes in
Shadow Brute. I mean, absolutely. I wouldn't think of anything else. But like the red version of that just screams Brute and Shadow Brute.
So now we've all opened a bunch of packs. Do you guys want to start talking about some of the stuff you're seeing in boxes?
I mean, I think we should default to Brian on this.
Yeah.
I would like to say if anybody wants to talk about things on that, what you pulled, I would suggest it right now because I got a laundry list of stuff here.
So in one case, you want me to go last?
No, you should probably go first.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So in one case, my first box, I pulled the Fable. And then Todd's like, Mike, you should go ahead and stop. You know, this is first edition. You can sell those boxes, get some unlimited, be done with it. But I have no self control, so I kept opening. Second box, you know, a whole bunch of good Majestics. Third box, pulled a Legendary, Doomsday. So, which is another reason why I built Brute. So in one case, and the fourth box was still a decent amount of Majestics above curve. Like I think it was running nine Majestics in the fourth box. So. In one case, I was able to open a Fable and a Legendary, and it felt phenomenal. Time.
Yeah. Who gave you that box, Mike?
So, if anyone has any problems about Chris Kirkpatrick, come see me because this is the coolest dude in the world. And for one simple reason is that Chris pre-ordered several boxes of first edition. I wasn't able to get any time, but he hooked me up at what he paid for it cost kind of thing, and I'm paying him back. Like Chris is a hell of a dude.
So. Well, let's also point out that cost was kept at retail by Total Access Games.
Less than retail.
I want to say less than retail. Todd Rowe, like if you're listening to this, I don't want to throw any shade or throw any punches or shots fired or nothing, but Todd Rowe, what you were selling these boxes at what, $89.99 per box?
$84.95.
$84.95 per box. And then for if you bought a full case, you actually got a discount on it, didn't you?
You got them for $329.
$329 for a case, four boxes of first edition Monarch here at Total Access Games.
People are selling that for $400.
If you're buying from anyone else, you're doing it wrong. And I'm
let's ease up on that now.
No.
I don't need that kind of shit.
I'm not throwing no shameless plug or nothing, but I mean, you got people that are selling cases for, or boxes for $150 and get whatever. $84.95 per box. If you bought a case, you got a discount. If you're buying from anyone else, or if you're listening to anyone else, you're doing it wrong.
Well, I think it's notable because you started at that price and you kept it even through all the surges and everything.
Yep.
Nobody got anything pulled or restricted. Everybody got what they ordered. When things got limited, you know, you kept it real with people. And especially with all the kind of negativity going around at LGS owners and individual people selling boxes and stuff like that, like you kept it real through the whole thing. So I know we all appreciate it.
And on top of all that, this was the same guy that said, hey, Crucible, you all better buy your stuff now because this stuff is going to go off the wall, off the hinge. You're not going to be able to get it. Yeah. This guy was saying it before it even happened.
Yeah.
So he knew the same thing was going to happen with Monarch, yet he still kept it real and sold it at a at – what was it? Below MSRP?
A little below MSRP.
A little below.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Todd doesn't like money.
No, I don't like money. I don't
But he likes building the community.
Right.
And the community does what? Brings in money.
I mean,
those are those long term plays.
The long term, like, and the thing is, like, this community goes back to a game that came on strong and died. Yet, because of the way Todd runs things here at Total Access Games here in Ashland, Virginia, you know,
we're gonna sound like such shills.
Yo, I don't care, man. Whatever.
I'm not paying you, bitches. I'm just saying.
The only thing I'm asking you to do is get an ABC license, and I won't go home.
All right. Well,
you definitely are paying us with those prices. Like, we lose money by not buying from you.
You guys are making me feel worse.
I also want to continue the shout out a little bit away from Todd. To our other stores in the area, this includes Todd, for actually running our pre-releases and trying to get players in rather than just scalping the product.
Yes.
And then shout out to Rick at Time Capsule for running sealed events after the pre-release when he's not under obligation to run them at any kind of particular price, for running those at significantly below market value for the boxes. Mm-hmm. So we've got a great group of stores in the Central Virginia area. Including Total Access Games.
I do want to shout out those guys because when we started this game here locally, like I told you guys, like I want to see a community. And I don't want it to be just me. And I approached a couple other shop owners and I was like, look, this is what I want to do. Let's work together and make this happen locally. Not just for me, but for all of us, for everybody. And I found these two amazing shop owners. Rick at Time Capsule in Chester, again, another shout out to him. The guy's been in business for decades, and there's a reason why. And it's because he wants to help build communities. And he showed that exactly as Minion said. He didn't get a pre-release because he was late to the game, but he realized that he wanted to be a part of the community and help grow it. And he held product that he could have sold for a much higher price just to run an event for 16 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so hats off to him. Also to Chris as well.
And Chris is trying to build a brand new shop, and he's got all the excuses in the world to
cash out.
Yeah, and he's not doing it because he wants us to come down there and enjoy ourselves and have a good time and build a community there as well.
Plus, he wants to do Legion there.
All right, Mike. Different show.
Legion is the best game in the world.
So hats off to those guys. Thank you guys for the kind words y'all said. Like, I've always made a conscious effort to be community first before I was worried about a dollar. So, I mean, that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah. Well, Brian, you want to talk some box statistics?
Yeah, absolutely. So this was the big one here. We had I went ahead and popped up two cases, and that was last night. You can actually see the rerun of that, at least until I get the statistics videos up, and that's at the Crack Bobble on YouTube. Out of these two cases, we ended up with, for foil commons, 132, rares 336, foil rares at 40, majestics at 48, foil majestics at 11, cold foils at 7, and legendaries at 2. What that breaks down to is, per box, you're looking at about 16 to 17 foil commons, 42 rares, 5 foil rares, majestics at 6, foil majestics at either 1 to 2. You should get one cold foil per box and one legendary one every 4 boxes. So that's kind of in line with what we've seen so far. Across, I want to say, a case, you're looking at about foil commons at 66, rares at 168, foil rares at 20, majestics at 24 per case, foil majestics at 5 to 6 per case, cold foils four, considering that you have legendary, and then at least one legendary per case. It breaks down pretty much normal from what we've seen so far. And however, I will say this. Out of two cases, I missed two majestics out of those, and that was the Dread Scythe and the Dimensional Crossroads. I at least got one, two more copies of some play sets of everything else. Of course, only got two legendaries, so I'm missing four of those, and I didn't catch the Fable or any of the extended art cards that are in there. I was really impressed with the dispersion of all the different majestics and foils. It turned out really good. Those boxes were monsters, and I want to thank everybody for supporting the channel and watching it live. It was a lot of fun. We also, looking at prices for this right now, at least for first edition, the Phantasmal Slippers for the Illusionist Majestic, the footwear, is going for the highest price in terms of the legendaries right now, over 1,000. The rest of them are going around $800 for anything below those, or cheaper, depending on, you know, which class it is. I expect those to, I want to say, either stay the same for now until Constructed comes out and people see which classes are actually working. But the Majestics are going anywhere from about $10 to about $30+, depending on which types and which classes. Now, once again, that's all going to change as Constructed comes out and Blitz comes out. Also, when Unlimited comes out, which is in a couple of weeks, I believe, you're probably going to see a big dramatic shift in prices going down as well. So you're probably going to end up with those $200 and $100 legendaries. The Fable will probably go down tremendously as well. And you just got to wait for it. I literally, on some of the cases I opened, I actually missed on rares as well. That's how big this set is. This thing is massive, over 300 cards. So even one case was not enough to get all of the rares. And yeah, you definitely didn't get play sets of the rares. Definitely got play sets of the commons for the most part, with some help from the foil commons that were put in there. But it was a very interesting, I want to say, spread in terms of what you got. I have seen people not pull legendaries in cases online. I feel sorry for them. I understand. I've seen people pull two legendaries per case. It really depends. Sometimes you get really, really lucky. Sometimes you get hosed. It's the way it goes. I expect this trend to go to Unlimited as well. You should see basically the same number and distribution. So with that going forward, we'll see if the product changes. Now that super rares are out, you're just going to get a heck of a lot of Majestics. That's all I got to say.
So, do you feel like, because the set is larger and because the print run is larger, that we're going to start seeing prices lower on average than the previous sets?
I wouldn't say lower. I would say higher, because getting those cards might be a little bit more difficult than normal.
So you're saying the opposite of some people, because the print runs higher, those more harder cards get can become harder.
Well, so I think the idea is that if the print run is higher, it's because the card pool is larger, which should put everything on the same average keel.
Except that, yeah, it's same average keel, but if you're only buying so much, Actually, I agree with Brian, but you know the math doesn't make sense in my head. It
depends on what classes are being played and which cards are being. You know, if we're talking about another card like Command and Conquer or Enlightened Strike, where they're just getting bought up because everybody wants them in their decks, then yes, you're still going to run into that situation where you're going to have some high price points on cards. Yes, they are printing more, but yes, we have a lot more people coming into this game, so those are going to go out. And that's the thing that you got to understand too, is that's the reason why a lot of these unlimited cards from the very first sets are still high, is because a lot of new players are coming in and they're still having to print off a heck of a lot of product to be able to catch up and get everybody into the game with the old stuff as well, and it's still holding a decent price.
Yeah, I think the prices are actually going to stay, you know, they're going to be on par with every other. In my personal opinion, I'm not an expert on this, like I don't follow this stuff. It's just from simple math, like everyone's on to the fact that okay, first edition is coming out, buy what you can get it now kind of thing. But I also think on that same page, more people are opening this
than they
did with Crucible or the other ones.
I think you have more people who weren't able to get in on the other ones,
right,
who are getting their first time grabbing first edition product.
Right.
So I do think more first edition product is getting open this time around than it has before.
And I'm one for that because I've never bought first edition. I got in after Crucible was sold out.
Well, and they also, we have to keep in mind too, that they more or less had almost a global pre-release event giving out first edition as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're, and that's much bigger than they've done before. So you have to assume that this is a larger print run than the other sets. I mean, at least that's what I'm thinking in my head.
Right. But I think because, you know, like Brian mentioned on it, it's a larger print run, yes, but we also have more people now getting into the game because it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
So the ratio of cards per players probably is going to stay the same in my personal.
That's kind of how I feel about it, too. Like you're raising one, you're raising the other, so the spread is going to be even.
Right. So the price of the cards are going to probably skyrocket in the first 30 minutes. They're going to drop in price because everyone's opening up their stuff and putting it on the market right away because it's first edition. And then after that stuff starts selling out and people start seeing it, then it's going to the prices are going to slowly start going back up.
Brian, when do you anticipate the rebound?
So that's the thing that we were looking for right now. You're going to have the Timmy effect where everybody wants to get all the cards and it's going to be very, very expensive. And that's the rise. Then people are going to get all those products and they're going to start selling it to get cash in on the amount of how much everything costs. So I would say once Unlimited starts getting into the market a lot more and there's actually product to be purchased, and that's going to be a while, then you're going to start seeing, I want to say not just a dip in Unlimited, but you'll start seeing people, I want to say, purchase a lot more of, what's the best way to put it? See if they can get the first edition cheaper, you know, or less because everybody's dumping it out there. And then you'll start seeing that progression of it going up because the first edition stuff will be removed from the market. That price will start skyrocketing again once that market starts to even out. And then Unlimited kind of takes over the card pools. And that's when you're going to start seeing the normal prices that you see now with all the Unlimited stuff. So first you're going to have the spike, which we have right now. It'll go down as people open more product. And then it will start to go back up again as the product is no longer available. And this, once again, this is just for first edition. Unlimited is going to be stable at a specific price point, and that's all there is to it, because they're just going to keep printing it. So the first edition is where everything is going to be kind of like that roller coaster ride. And at some point, it will, once everything gets sold, that, you know, everybody gets in there and sells as much as they can, and the product starts to dry up, those prices will once again go up. And you've seen that time and time again with this, at least with the sets that have come out. Kind of the same thing with Magic the Gathering and a lot of other card games out there. But definitely, first edition is going to be expensive, especially later on down the road. You'll see cold foil prices, even the common ones, start going high.
What were you about to say, Minion?
Oh, I was going to say, going back probably a point, one of the things that is different about this set that will affect pricing on some level is the amount of Easter eggs that they put in. So we've got the alternate art cold foil Galaxy Black, and you've got the full art of a couple of other Majestics. And those are, from numbers I've seen, those are quite rare, possibly rarer than the legendaries, possibly as rare as the Fableds, maybe not, because the Fabled rarity is up for some debate. But those are going to drive prices as well, because the big-time collectors are going to be chasing those.
Yeah, and to put something to rest, too, I know there were some conspiracy theories out there. I may or may not have subscribed to one of them about the potential for pre-release boxes coming out of TCG Player and the pre-release events possibly being front-loaded, just because it seemed like there was an extreme number of Fableds and Legendaries and Mythics being pulled. But that seems to have held true through the first edition release. Like, you can expect 7-8 Mythics per box, you know, one Legendary per case, that kind of thing. So it did seem like it was kind of hot, but I feel like a lot of boxes are being opened that are pretty hot.
Yeah, because they've taken out super rares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just want to echo a point. Brian mentioned it, and they kind of both happened to me, so I wanted to mention it. My first case had no Legendary, and my second case had two. So I hit both ends of the spectrum on that one, so just be aware that there are cases like that out there.
Absolutely. And I will tell you this for the investors part out there. If you are looking to get the next first edition print run, I kind of said that the first time when Crew was out there, hold off on your product if you don't want to open it immediately. And at some point you'll be able to trade in that box to get a whole bunch of, you know, pre-orders on the first edition at a price where you don't have to put so much money in.
Well, very good, everybody. Covered a lot of ground as usual. Did anybody have any final thoughts before we kind of wrap this thing up?
All right. I do. I got a question for everybody. Next week, we're going to start doing Blitz at the shop. So hot takes. Don't tell us what you're playing. Just tell us who you're playing.
Huh?
Yep. We don't want to need to know the deck details. We just want to know the character.
Okay.
All right. And then we'll talk about it next time we do a show.
The artist formerly known as Prism.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
There's going to be a good running theme with Monarch in case you guys haven't noticed yet.
Yeah. We'll get the other ones caught up too.
Who's playing Michael Bolton? That's all I want to know.
I wonder.
All right. So Minion.
I will commit right now to playing Bolton in the first Blitz event.
Michael Bolton.
Michael Minion's Bolton. Minion's on Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton fan.
All right. Brian, who are you on right now?
If I wasn't on call, I'd be up there, but I would be putting on myself on Prism because of all the amazing shit I got with her out of my cases.
The artist formerly known as Prism, you mean?
You got it.
Yep. Mike, what about you?
I mean, don't hate me. I'm playing Kano. don't hate me. I don't see what Kano got worse than this. Oh, Prism, you going to take off a turn to do something?
Cool. I didn't ask you why. I asked you who.
That sweet, nourishing Touché. Emptiness tech for Kano? Is that going to make an appearance?
No, plus, I put my ass whoopings on Kano and finally got good with it, and then all this new stuff came out. I'm going to keep pushing it.
Well, I'm gonna leave you guys with one word. My first Blitz deck, you heard it here first. Benji.
I like it. I didn't think about that. Damn, good call.
Yeah, we were actually talking about it, and I was asking Todd if he wanted to bring it up this podcast.
I didn't say why, Mike. I said who.
I didn't explain why, but we brought it up this podcast.
It makes perfect Benji. Sense.
I'm still playing Kano.
We've been talking about that before all this, so yeah, I can see it.
I have a question. Maybe we should turn it into a contest. If you have anything that you might be willing to put up, Todd. So we have, if you've noticed, a running theme with the names for the new characters that came out of Monarch.
Oh yes, we need listener input on this.
We've got Chanye.
Yes.
We've got the artist formerly known as Prism.
Yep.
We have Michael Bolton.
Yep.
But we don't have an artist name for Levia.
Yeah. Or Levia.
Levia. Whatever you want to call her.
We got Kanye and Chanye, so you can take it where you want to.
So whoever can give us the best. Artist name for Levia.
I just came up on.
Oh, Adam, did we already ruin it?
Yeah, Adam Levia.
Adam Levia.
I don't know about that.
No, because Levia's a girl. Tried. What's his sister's name? Adam.
No, Mike. Anyway, no.
Adam Levine had a sister. Who's his sister?
No, Mike.
If somebody can give us.
She did punk rock.
You're thinking of Avril Lavigne.
Avril Lavigne!
That's not his sister!
Oh my gosh. Avril Lavigne and Adam Levine, they're
brothers. No, they're not siblings. She's from fucking Canada.
He's from Canada. They both got floppy heads.
God damn it, Mike. Wow.
Somebody come happens, up with something good. This is good. What happens when you mix gummies us. And alcohol. That's all I'm saying. Gummies and alcohol are not a good combination.
We'll hey, but my hip doesn't hurt.
Well, that's not the only thing
that's for you. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, so the long and short of that there is we need to come up with a good one for Levia.
Great show, everybody, with the exception of Mike, who can't read.
I did fine into the last 5 minutes. Y'all took this too long.
Well, we went 100 minutes, or 1 hour, sorry. That's not 100 minutes. I didn't take a gummy. Anyway.
100 minutes.
We are going to leave. We're just leaving.
Later. We're just, bye.
Bye.
Have a good one, everyone.